When you boil it down, federal agencies are really made up of two main ingredients, people and money. You've got to attract and retain the right people, and you need enough money for all of the tasks. Those issues seem to be overlooked in the current political climate. Joining me with some perspective, Bob Tobias, professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. Bob, you've been focusing on the IRS budget, which is always a political football, and even though nobody loves taxes, you know, I guess the question is, if we're going to have a tax agency, should it be a good one?
It certainly should be a good one. It should be a good one for a number of reasons, but most of all, in terms of fairness. If I'm paying my taxes and I'm paying what I owe, then those who don't pay ought be audited and the taxes owed collected. But the IRS is really not in a position to do that today because over the last few years, $1 billion have been cut from the IRS budget, and some 19,000 employees. Now, what that means is, economically, for every dollar that's cut, $8 billion are lost in revenue. So that means if I'm paying my taxes, I'm subsidizing those who don't.
And so ultimately, that really undermines, in some sense, the legitimacy of the entire tax system.
We in the United States rely on voluntary compliance. So that means if I'm going to pay my taxes because I believe it's in the best interest of this country to pay my taxes, voluntary compliance. But the fact of the matter, between what's owed and what's paid, there's a $400 billion gap. So the IRS has a lot of work to do to ensure fairness.
Well, it's voluntary the first time around, and then they do have the right to collect and garnish wages and put you in prison and so forth. But the question is, can they do that follow through once people have not voluntarily done what they should? Then they don't have really the means for the next steps, 2, 3, and 4.
That is exactly correct.
And this $400 billion figure, the tax gap, that commissioner after commissioner keeps mentioning that. And when you look at the annual deficits, you know, that would make a real measurable difference.
It would. It would make a real measurable difference. So the IRS needs more people to do more audits, to collect more taxes. Now, Congress introduced the idea of contracting out some of this collection to the private sector. They tried it in the past. It was tried again last year to failure. It cost the IRS $20 million to create the program, to install the program, and they only collected $6.7 million. So that's a failure. It ought to be ended immediately, and any money spent ought go toward hiring more IRS employees to collect the taxes that are owed.
The question is, would they be able to regain the talent gap to get the tax gap if they suddenly had the money once the people are gone and out of the agency?
Well, the answer is they would have to build up over time because they could never replace the 19,000 people overnight. It would take several years of hiring around 1,500 to 1,700 employees over time to actually resurrect their workforce.
And besides the compliance piece, there is also the customer service piece. And now the IRS is saying, and I guess the Taxpayer Advocate Service also came out with this figure, that given the staffing and funding for this current filing season, they can only answer 40% of the phone calls.
This is another element of fairness, because if I want to pay my taxes and I have a legitimate question about the interpretation of what I should pay and what I shouldn't pay, the IRS ought, I believe, offer a service free of charge. I shouldn't have to go to an accountant to answer my question. It should be answered free of charge, and yet the IRS is not staffed at a level necessary to answer taxpayer questions. And the second part of the issue is, prior to the tax cuts, IRS was staffed in a way to answer complex tax questions. But now, with the cuts in training
funds...
You
mean the new tax code that was enacted.
The tax code. Now, with cuts in dollars, there's not enough training dollars to really train the temporary workforce to answer complex tax code questions, even if I get through to a live person.
Yes, this new code, I guess, requires not just reprogramming all of the computers, which we normally hear about, but every form, Every expert system, everything that supports taxpayer service has to be redone, including training the people who didn't see the bill until it was passed either.
Well, going forward, you know, what I've basically been talking about is the past. But going forward, it's even more complex because of the new tax code. The IRS has to provide all the forms, has to provide all of the interpretations, has to train all of its people who are tax, who've actually talk to taxpayers about this new tax code. And that doesn't even account for all of the changes in the computer processing of tax returns. It's a massive effort, and the IRS has not received additional funding to make that happen.
We're speaking with Bob Tobias, professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University, and turning our attention to this retention issue. We've had some articles, and I think you've noticed them, that the Coast Guard seems to have a really good retention rate. Not that they're lavishly funded either, but aside from money, there are certain management and approach things that agencies can do to keep their best people.
You know, it's very interesting. The Coast Guard has about a 97% retention rate. And somebody might say, well, you know, they're staying there because they're all sloths and nobody wants to pay attention to dealing with poor performers. But just the opposite is true. What the Coast Guard has been able to do is create an environment where people want to stay because they are engaged in the work of the Coast Guard in a way where they want to be productive. So the management approach is to connect, to engage, and to harvest the productivity that comes from their engagement, which has made the Coast Guard a very, very productive place to work.
I mean, they have a clear mission, several missions, but they are clearly delineated. But isn't that true of most agencies have clear missions?
No. I think that many agencies have unclear missions and unclear vision, and managers who don't connect mission and vision with the people who work in the agency. Coast Guard has proven when that is done, people respond and are productive.
Whose job is it to do that connection, the standing political workforce or the standing SES and GS-15 and so forth, the people that are there throughout the political changes that happen every 4 or 8 years?
Well, I think it's the responsibility of every single manager, every single political appointee, every single member of the SES, and all leaders up and down the chain. But that rarely happens. It rarely happens. In the Coast Guard, it does. And the proof of that kind of focused attention is in their productivity. It can be done. It ought to be done. It's rarely done.
All right. And so we are facing a situation where the funding continues with uncertainty, and it's possible there could be an entire year continuing resolution. Does that bring the budget and the people together here? That atmosphere, I guess, is not all that conducive for allowing managers to make their agencies as best they can.
The most corrosive impact of this funding situation is uncertainty. When I'm uncertain, I'm anxious, I'm not going to make decisions, I can't make decisions because I don't know what funding I'm going to have. So I can't really connect with those I lead and assuage their fears because I'm as uncertain as they are. So it is a very corrosive, unproductive workplace.
Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. Let's hope things improve, but thanks for joining me here in studio.
Thank you, sir.